I invite you to please join me as I read from 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. The first 7 verses. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. Let's listen to God as He speaks to us through His Word. Verse 1. In the 3rd year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abiah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father or forefather David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. We can stop there, and praise be to God for the reading of His holy and precious word. The day after the election last Tuesday, Time reported, and please listen, for the first time, 2 American states have legalized the recreational use and sale of marijuana. Congregation, Washington and Colorado have legalized the recreational use of marijuana. Now take note, not the medical use of marijuana, but recreational use of this drug, marijuana. Now what is disturbing? While the recreational use of marijuana is now legal, or has been legalized in those states, prayer to God in public schools is illegal. In fact, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the prayer ban in public schools. If you recall, it was in 1962 that the U.S. Supreme Court first ruled that government-endorsed prayer in public schools is unconstitutional. Since then, you can no longer utter these words: Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. You cannot pray those words anymore in public schools. Asking God in public schools to bless the parents, the students, the teachers, the schools, the nation is wrong. While the use of marijuana for recreational purposes is right. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is the nation in which you and I live. We live in a nation that considers evil good and good evil. Therefore, I fully agree with Vance Havner, who wrote a book entitled The Secret of Christian Joy, published in 1938. He said, and please listen carefully, the greatest need of America is an old-fashioned, heaven-born, God-sent revival. And I do believe that this is our greatest need, revival in our land. And so with God's help, we will continue our short series on revival. And this evening, we're going to focus on the kind of person God uses in revival. Now, if you recall, last Sunday, we studied the condition of Judah under the wicked king Ahaz. And under the leadership of King Ahaz, economically, politically, militarily, spiritually, morally, Judah was in great darkness. But praise be to God, when he died, he was succeeded by his godly son, Hezekiah, whom God used to start revival in Judah. And so, what I'm going to do in this message is study the life of Hezekiah, since the Lord has used him to begin that revival in Judah. We're going to study his life and then see the kind of person he is. And we will try, by God's grace, to learn from this godly king, Hezekiah. So let's go back to our passage, 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's read verse 1. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old. Now take note, Hezekiah was only 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Now, what a blessing to be under that king, to be under a godly king for 29 years. His mother's name was Abiah, daughter of Zechariah. And then look at verse 3, please. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So we ask the question, what kind of person God uses in revival? Now first, God uses the kind of person who continues to be good in bad times. Who continues to be good in bad times. Now, here we see King Hezekiah, according to verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, remember, his father, Ahaz, did exactly the opposite. When you read 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1, Ahaz did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I tell you, for sure it was so difficult for Hezekiah to remain godly under his wicked father. And I tell you that it was difficult for Hezekiah to remain godly when he is surrounded by ungodly people. But because as you recall last Sunday, the people of Judah, even the priests, the Levites, they were following their wicked king. And isn't it true that it is hard to keep your integrity pure when you live in a society that promotes wickedness? It is difficult to remain godly when, in fact, your own parents are living without God. When your friends are considering good evil and evil good. But praise be to God, here we have Hezekiah who continues to be good in bad times. Friends, we now live in this nation in which majority of the people are rejecting the God of the Bible. We live in this nation in which fornication is just considered live-in. We live in a nation in which abortion is simply called pro-choice, when in fact the Bible so clearly considers abortion a murder, a sin against God. Fornication, a sin against God. And yet in the eyes of many Americans, there's nothing wrong with that. We are just living in. After all, we love one another. We live in a nation in which most of the people approve same-sex marriage. And as if that's a kind of choice or right. This is my right to marry a gay or a homosexual. We live in a nation in which leaders do not uphold the teachings of the Word of God. And so, we Christians are really under pressure. I think one of the challenges that we face in this land is to remain godly in this ungodly nation. To maintain our integrity as believers in Christ in this nation that has lost its integrity. Young people, I understand that some of you face the stress of peer pressure. Sometimes when I meet young people and when I ask them, why are you doing what you are doing? And sometimes they would simply say to me, well, because majority of my friends are doing it. You see, the peer pressure. Why are you dressed immodestly? Well, this is now in. This is now acceptable. But may I tell you this? What is acceptable to this nation and to the eyes of majority of Americans may not be acceptable to the eyes of the Lord. And we should be more concerned with what God will say rather than with what others may say to us. We need to remain godly in this ungodly nation. We need to learn from Hezekiah, who is surrounded by wicked people, and yet by the grace of God, has remained godly in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, even churches face the pressure of peer pressure. Many churches today are no longer having evening services. And if you ask their leaders, why did you stop your evening service? Well, because majority of the churches in the area don't have evening services. And so, because of the pressure, we also decided to stop our evening service. Why are you having now drama as part of your worship? Well, because other churches are doing it now. Why is it that in your church, you sing more and then the preaching is less? Well, that's now in many churches. We face the stress of peer pressure, even as a congregation. But we need to keep our integrity. We need to maintain the truths that we have in the Word of God. And I fully believe that the preaching of God's Word must be central to our worship. Churches are conforming themselves to the standard of this world rather than to the standard of God's Word. Let's learn from Hezekiah, who used the word of God, the law. Look at, for example, verse 6. Look at verse 6, please. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. And notice this. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. What are those commands? The Ten Commandments, the law. And so here you see, while majority of the people in Hezekiah's time, while they have already rejected the law as the standard for Christian living, Hezekiah, with God's help, continues to use that law as his standard for what is right and for what is wrong. You see, that's the problem. Because our nation has really forgotten God, has rejected God, and when you do that, you also reject His law. And when you remove the law from this nation, then what kind of standard of life we will have? Everything becomes relative. Because there's no point of reference. If someone asks you, why do you think that is wrong? Well, because I think it is wrong. Why? They cannot point to the Word of God because they reject the Word of God. They cannot say that is wrong because the Bible says it so. Because God rejects it. And so everyone becomes a god or a goddess. Oh, let us learn from Hezekiah. And so the first kind of person that God uses in revival is a person who continues to be good even in bad times. Second, God uses the kind of person who has courage or boldness to stand for the truth. Look at verse 4, please. Verse 4. He, Hezekiah, removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehush or Nehushtan. Look what Hezekiah did here. First, he removed the high places. Now, those places were places devoted to worship of pagan gods. And he removed them all. Now I tell you, that was not easy for him to do. It took courage on his part to do that. Why? Because who built those high places? Who did? His own father, King Ahaz, had built those high places. Matthew Henry said, we must never dishonor God in honor to our earthly parents. Children, if the time comes that your parents ask you to do something that will contradict the Word of God, by all means, stand for the truth. Say, Father, Mother, I cannot do that. Because that will violate the law of God. And so here we see that Hezekiah really was more concerned with what his heavenly father would say rather than what his earthly father would say to him. He removed the high places. What else? He smashed the sacred stones. He broke the images. And then verse 4, he cut down the Asherah poles. This refers to a pagan goddess, a wooden idol that unfortunately King Ahaz was worshipping, and the people of Judah. And then not only that, even, now take note, even the bronze snake that Moses had made. Wow. In other words, he doesn't care. Yes, Moses made that bronze snake or serpent or brazen serpent, I don't care. Because the problem, the Jew, by the way, do you know the history behind this? The brazen serpent in Numbers chapter 21. If you remember, the Israelites spoke against God and Moses, and because of that, verse 6 says, Numbers chapter 21. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. It was a divine appointment. God Himself asked Moses, "Moses, you make a bronze snake." But here's the problem. In the course of time, the people of Judah, they started worshiping it. They started worshiping this brazen snake. It became an object of idolatry. And for that reason, Hezekiah, with all boldness, he broke it. He broke it. You know why? Because he doesn't want anything that will take his people's attention away from God. Because since this brazen serpent has become an object of idolatry and starting to take the people's hearts away from the true God, Hezekiah broke it into pieces. And I think there's something that we can learn there. We need to have that boldness, braveness, courage to remove anything in our lives, in this church, that may or can take our attention away from the cross. Especially, we know that in the New Testament, Jesus uses that brazen serpent as a type of Him. Remember what He says in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15? "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life." You see, that brazen serpent was actually a type of Christ. You are not to worship it, but to look for the object to which it points. It points to the coming Messiah. And you see, that's the concern of Hezekiah. He is concerned with the Messiah, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is willing to take any challenge just to be able to destroy anything that will hinder us from worshiping the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Oh, how we pray that the Lord will raise more Hezekiahs here in our midst. May I ask you a question, please? Is there anything in your life that is taking your heart away from God? What is it? Young people, perhaps, you see, God asked Moses to make a snake, to make a bronze snake for a good purpose. God is using that for a good cause. But unfortunately, the people of Judah used it as an object of idolatry. There are things that the Lord has given to us. Maybe Facebook. It's a blessing to have a Facebook. You can use it to promote the gospel, post a verse or a code that will point your friends to the cross. But if that Facebook becomes an object of idolatry, then I think we need to think about that. Sports, your television, whatever it may be, break it into pieces. Learn from Hezekiah. So God uses the kind of person who has courage to stand for the truth. Third, God uses the kind of person who has confidence in the Lord. Who has confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 5, please. Hezekiah trusted in whom? He trusted in the Lord, in Jehovah, in Yahweh, the God of Israel. So God uses the kind of person who has confidence in the Lord. Now remember, his father Ahaz, he did not trust in the Lord. Instead, he trusted the king of Assyria. Remember? He went to the king of Assyria for help. Instead of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, please help us. The Assyrians are attacking us. He did not come to the Lord. He did not trust the Lord. And unfortunately, instead of trusting the God of Israel, King Ahaz trusted Baal, a pagan god. And here we see this sharp contrast between Ahaz and Hezekiah. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. Now, the word for trusted in Hebrew expresses a sense of security which results from having someone in whom to place confidence. That here we see King Hezekiah, even if he is surrounded by people who do not believe in God, by nations, pagan nations that reject the God of Israel, still he finds that security in the Lord. He finds peace in the Lord. That peace that passes all understanding. May I tell you this? Yes, majority of Americans now reject the God of the Bible, but still we can find security, find peace if we trust in the Lord. Don't trust the president or in the president. We need to trust in the Lord. Yes, we need to honor our president, but we need to place our confidence in the Lord. And in doing so, you will have peace, security. This is what we need to do. Place our hope in the Lord. And again, the Bible is so specific. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. In a sense, there is no need for that phrase, the God of Israel, because it is already understood that the Lord here refers to the God of Israel. But I think the author of 2 Kings wants to show to us that this is the true God. This is the God who sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God who controls everything. Our president does not control this nation. God does. And what a blessing it is to know that we know that our Heavenly Father controls all the things that are happening in this land. Remember what it says in the Catechism, Lord's Day 1. What is your only comfort in life? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my faithful Savior. And then, in the middle of that answer, you have this line, He takes care of me. So much so that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of whom? Of whose? Will of my Father. My friend, think about this. If God is concerned with your hair, is He not also concerned with everything about you, your life, our nation, our children? Just think about that. I really don't pay attention when sometimes when I walk up in the morning, boom, maybe 10, you know, pieces of hair. God knows that those hair fell from my head. I don't care. But God is so concerned with me that He even pays attention to that small thing about myself, about my life. And so here we see Hezekiah trusting that God who controls everything in this world. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm still alive tomorrow. But I can have peace. I can have joy. I can have security. Because I know the God who holds tomorrow. I know the God who holds my life. In Him, I can enjoy peace. So God uses the kind of person who has confidence in the Lord. And finally, God uses the kind of person who clings to the Lord. Who clings to the Lord. Verse 6. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow Him. Now take note of that. He did not stop. He did not cease to follow the Lord. He clings to the Lord. In Hebrew, the word, actually in King James, you have the word clave. And he clave, which means to stick to. You know, boys and girls, it's like he is glued to the Lord. That no one can separate him from God. That even Satan. And isn't it true? The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Even death. Principalities. Even Satan. We are safely secured in the hand of the Lord. And that's our comfort. And of course, it is by the grace of God that Hezekiah is able to cling to Him, to the Lord. It is because of God's persevering grace. That's why we believe in what we call the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. That if you are a true child of God, regardless, even if we get the worst precedent in this world, still if you are a child of God, you will persevere. Because God will enable you to do so. And that's the blessing that we have in our God. So He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow Him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. And for sure, maybe, now take note, how old was Hezekiah at this time when he started reigning in Judah? He was not 90 years old. He was not 70. He was only 25 years old. He was a young person. 7 years younger than I am. And you would imagine the pressure that he was experiencing at this time. For sure, some of his friends, maybe the elders, the priests, the Levites, were telling him, Hezekiah, no, don't, you should stop doing that. He said, no, this is what the Bible says. He said, this is the kind of person, Hezekiah is the kind of person who will tell you, I'm doing this because God tells me to do it. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because the Bible tells me so. It's not because my neighbor tells me so, or because my president tells me so, or my elders, because the Bible tells me so. So you see, he makes the Bible the standard of his Christian life. And that's what we need to do. He clings to the Lord. I remember Job. You remember Job in the Bible? The Lord tested him. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in the Lord.
Even if the Lord will take my life, even if the Lord, with Horatius Spafford, the Lord took all His children, and by God's grace, He was able to sing, it is well with my soul. I will still cling to the Lord. I will remain faithful to Him. That's the kind of person God uses in revival. And so in conclusion, we see four characteristics of a person that God uses in revival. First, He uses the kind of person who continues to be good in bad times. Second, who has courage to stand for the truth. Third, who has confidence in the Lord. And then fourth, who clings to the Lord. And may I tell you this, there is a blessing for those like Hezekiah. Two blessings quickly. First, look at verse 6, please. Actually, verse 7. Two blessings Hezekiah experiences here. Verse 7. And the Lord was with him. Pause for a moment. And the Lord was with Hezekiah. What a blessing that is! The first blessing that Hezekiah enjoys is the presence of God. Do you remember? Because of what King Ahaz did. King Ahaz shut the doors of God's temple, and because of that, God departed. The presence of the Lord was not with them. My friend, may I tell you this, that the greatest blessing that you can ever enjoy in this world is to have the presence of God. That's the highest possible blessing that you can get in this world. The presence of the Lord. The Lord is with him. Do you have the presence of the Lord this evening? If you have the presence of the Lord, you can say with David, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For the Lord is with me. You see that? That's a blessing. For the Lord is with me. His presence is with me. David Livingstone, a missionary to Africa, when he was asked, what is your motivation? Why are you so bold in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as a missionary? Don't you realize that there are many difficulties, trials, problems in the mission field? What is it that is keeps you going? He quoted the verse that says, and lo, I am with you always. And lo, I am with you always. That's his comfort. That's his motivation. He knew that God is with him. My friend, do we have that boldness to be able to say that the Lord is with me? Yes, the president may not be with you, but if the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings is with you, what else do you need? If you have the presence of God, if you are saturated with the presence of God, that's the blessing. That's in fact the beginning of revival. That you are so filled with God's presence that you will see the holiness of God, and you will say, holy, 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 thou art holy, God Almighty. And you will bow down before this King, before this Lord, and say, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to serve you. Do you have the presence of God? And the other blessing that he experienced here, not only the presence of God, even the prosperity from God. Prosperity from God. Look at verse 7 again, please. And the Lord was with him, and he was successful
in whatever he undertook. Or in other version, Hezekiah prospered wherever he went forth. Prosperity from the Lord. The Lord prospered him so abundantly. But you see, prosperity must come from the presence of God. The problem that we are experiencing in this nation, we look for prosperity outside the presence of God. You cannot have prosperity outside the presence of God. Why is it that the Lord blessed this nation so much, so abundantly? Because the pilgrims, when they came here, they brought the God of the Bible. They had the presence of God. And now we're starting to look for prosperity. Everyone wants to be prosperous, wants to be successful. But how can you be successful when God is not with you? You need the presence of God. And this evening, my friend, perhaps as you're listening to this message, you're saying to me, how can I have the presence of God? The Bible says, no one can come to the Father but by me. Actually, those are the words of Jesus. You need to have the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the only mediator between man and God. Come to the cross. Look for that person. His name is Jesus. Ask Him. Tell Him that you want to experience the presence of God. And I guarantee you, God is faithful. God is willing to answer that kind of prayer by His grace. Come to Him and enjoy His presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence among us. We thank You also for using Hezekiah to bring revival to Judah. And Lord, how we long to experience revival. First, Lord, in my own heart, in my family, in this church, in our community, and in this nation. Oh, Father, please revive us and raise people who are like Hezekiah, people who are going to continue to be good in bad times, who have courage to stand for the truth, and who have confidence in the Lord, and who will cling to Him. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will have more Hezekiahs in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.